aspect common to them all, but it carries specific mythological power in the 28th city's destiny. Finally, a few words about the future role of the 28th city. As was stated earlier, this city contains the seed of the manifestation of immortality in form. After all the cities have dawned in humanity and our collective body has begun to transmute into its future form, the 60th city will flower, and the laws that hold our world together will dissolve. At that time, elements of our future vehicle will coalesce and begin to form another kind of vehicle to house the higher consciousness of humanity. In this vehicle, the 28th city will finally come to fruition, and in doing so, it will synthesize the animal soul of Gaia with the human soul, thus making an immortal body. Herein lies the secret behind all the codes within our mythologies, where man and beast are combined as one. The animal kingdoms of our planet constitute an awareness that already operates in the immortal field, and whose sacrifice suggests an evolution even higher than our own. At a physical level, man must absorb his entire animal nature into himself in order for its true purpose to be shown. Only then will we see for the first time the true nature of the beast.
29th Gene Key. Leaping into the Void. Programming Partner, 30th Gene Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Union. 4, 7, 29, 59. Physiology, sacral plexus, amino acid, valine. The 29th shadow, half-heartedness, the life half-lived. The 29th shadow of half-heartedness, in combination with its programming partner, the 30th shadow of desire, creates quite possibly the greatest emotional chaos of any two of the shadow pairings. This is a deep and ancient genetic programming within human beings. More than anything, it concerns a basic lack of trust in human desire. Desire, as we can learn from the 30th shadow and its gift of lightness, serves a greater purpose than simply creating emotional confusion. Desire that is fully embraced always leads to a beneficial outcome. It is, after all, a pure life energy within us. The problems with desire arise through the 29th shadow and its dynamics. In essence, this shadow is about two things that ultimately stem from the same source, overcommitment and lack of commitment. The secret to all commitment lies in the way in which you begin. It is the energy behind your actions that creates your future rather than the actions themselves. There is nothing that is worth doing in life unless it is done with absolute commitment. It doesn't matter whether you love it or hate it. If you attempt anything half-heartedly, you might as well not attempt it at all. Without commitment, action lacks power or direction, and above all, it lacks luck. This last comment may sound rather odd, but there exists a universal law that anything that is done with full commitment carries within it the seed of good fortune. Likewise, anything done without full commitment carries the seed of misfortune. All life is a continuum, and every action you take leads you down a certain path. It must also be said that there is no morality behind this universal law of commitment. It simply represents an invitation for you to trust in life. Half-heartedness robs you of your opportunity to participate in life's mystery. It stalls life's natural tendency towards the magical and the profound. This shadow keeps you a victim of fate rather than being a player in the great play. It keeps you in the sidelines, ensuring that you play roles in life that are dull and monotonous, or else fraught with emotional agony. In a nutshell, when you enter into something half-heartedly, you invite misery into your life. This 29th Gene Key is about human feelings.
It's about sex and relating, failure and success, desire and expectation. No matter who you are, your life depends upon your honoring the laws of this gene key. When you do something half-heartedly, you are actually behaving dishonestly. You may not be literally dishonest with others, but you are being dishonest with yourself and with life, and this always has unpleasant consequences. The 29th shadow is a wake-up call to all human beings. How clearly you hear the message depends on how deeply asleep you are. Commitment operates within a cycle, and at the end of its cycle, it either automatically renews itself or it lets go and commits to something else. These cycles can be of many different lengths. The cellular cycle lasts for 7 full years, since that is how long it takes the body to replace all of its renewable cells. True commitment within a cycle of time, therefore, lasts 7 years or more. Cycles of desire can last much less time, but each has its own built-in timing mechanism. Human beings must work through their desire cycles until they reach a natural completion. Unfortunately, there is no simple way to know when something will end. You need to remain committed until the play has ended of its own accord. If you break out of a cycle prematurely, your life will reconstruct the same patterns of experience until you actually finish the cycle and learn the lessons it holds for you. The 29th shadow keeps most human beings in repeating patterns because they do not follow things through to their natural endings. True commitment includes the energy to overcome obstacles and adversity. Half-heartedness is about giving up at the first sign of trouble or discomfort, and ultimately, all half-heartedness is rooted in deep, unembraced fear. The lesson that comes from the 29th shadow is really simple. If you quit something too soon, you will stay in the same old loop. But if you follow experiences through to the end, you will make quantum leaps, both in terms of your good fortune and your fulfillment. You need to see that this shadow, like all the shadows, has a beneficial purpose in the long run. It teaches you the value of your experiences when you look back upon them with hindsight. If you look back and keep seeing the same old emotional traumas repeating in your life, you will eventually learn what you are doing or not doing that is causing these patterns. The ancient Chinese had a wonderful and somewhat disturbing name for this 29th gene key or hexagram. They called it the abysmal, and it was considered one of the major symbols for predicting danger on life's path. This is exactly what the 29th shadow does. It keeps throwing you into very challenging situations in which your commitment is tested. Once you have embarked on a certain path in life, you are really flying blind. You have only the power of your commitment to carry you through the abyss. With half-heartedness, you are constantly concerned about where this path will take you and whether you have made the right decision in the first place. Your fears heckle you from within and threaten to undermine your commitment. If you yield to them, you actually create the conditions for misfortune. But if you can weather your doubts, especially at those critical moments, then you create the conditions for transcendence. In this 29th shadow lies the secret of what is generally seen as success. Success in life hinges upon two things, commitment and luck. Commitment actually engenders luck. Failure means that you have remained stuck in the same old cycle, and nowhere does this shadow have more relevance than in the field of human relationships. Since it is paired with the 30th shadow of desire, it leads to the beginning of many human bonds and alliances. It is through this coupling that so much confusion enters into relationships. All desire operates within clear cycles, and these cycles must be honored, even if they are not fulfilled. If a desire is honestly embraced, then its cycle will soon reveal itself. It may last a day or a year, but the cycle can never be wrong. This is not about social morality, but life energy. In marriages, whether formalized or internal, commitment is a built-in requirement. If sexual desire for another rears its head, it signals one of two things. Either the marriage is nearing the end of its cycle of commitment, or it is about to be strengthened through an honest cooperative grappling with the desire cycle and whatever that entails. The 29th shadow responds to most sexual desire out of fear, which usually manifests as behavior rooted in either guilt or shame. In this sense, half-heartedness means to hide your true feelings or follow them through in secret. Thus, this 29th shadow can lead to all manner of unfortunate emotional situations and relationship disasters in life. As the old folk saying goes, a life lived in fear is a life half-lived. It is an apt saying for this 29th shadow, which can cause all kinds of emotional trauma for human beings, especially in the domain of relationships and material success. To live half-heartedly means that you never fully embrace and trust your decisions. This shadow makes you constantly worry about your decisions and where they might or might not lead you. The great illusion of failure and success is that they are simply inner attitudes linked to your beliefs about yourself. To move beyond the domain of this 29th shadow, you will have to let go of all such ideas and allow life to catapult you into and through the abyss of the unknown. You must hold back nothing and be totally honest, both with yourself and others. There are so many rewards and fruits waiting for you if you can stand by your decisions and follow them through to their natural, organic conclusion. Repressive nature, overcommitting. These people are conditioned not only to make commitments, but also to keep them no matter what happens. In other words, these people are unable or unwilling to recognize when natural cycles are over. Such a nature takes on far more than it is capable of handling, and then becomes gradually exhausted by the magnitude of its commitments. These people often become victims of others, or they become slaves of large organizations. Because of the fear in their nature, they do not have the courage to admit when something needs to end, and they continue to allow others to abuse them, either consciously or unconsciously. Reactive nature, unreliable. When the 29th shadow is played out through a reactive nature, it hides a deep fear of commitment that is seen by others as a lack of reliability. When one does something without true commitment, then one can rarely follow through an action or a cycle with confidence and competence. The usual result is the breaking off of the cycle and a consequent disappointment and sense of failure or shame. These are natures that may say yes to all kinds of things, but then react to the pressure by pulling out of their commitments. The anger inherent within their nature is usually triggered by someone else's expectation of them, and thus they tend to talk things up whilst lacking the ability to deliver on their promises. The 29th gift, commitment. The business of luck. As your frequency becomes clearer and more refined, your decision-making process naturally becomes cleaner and quicker as well. The 29th gift is not subject to the pressures of conditioning and expectation from others, but opens into a deep connection to the direction of the life force within. This gift inherently attunes to the cyclic flow of life. People with the 29th gift have the knack of getting out of the way of life, and through this gift they can watch their lives unwinding in powerful and mythical ways. Without the 29th gift and its ability to make crystal clear commitments, life becomes choked and confused, and nowhere is this truer than at the emotional and sexual level. Commitment is akin to trust, which can neither be forced nor willed. It flows like a great river from deep within your being and out into your actions. With commitment, you have no need to think about the future or the goal, because the commitment contains the seed of the goal within it. Only time will show where the river of each cycle of experience will lead. Thus, for the 29th gift, the goal is not what is important. What really matters is the commitment to keep following the journey until its end. Life is latticed with cycles within cycles. Some journeys last 5 minutes, and some last a lifetime. The ultimate journey is your entire life, and the shape of your life is formed by the millions of tiny decisions that are made over the course of your life. To live your entire life with this profound level of commitment means to make every decision with the same commitment, from the way you have sex to the way you wash the dishes. As an integral part of a chemical family known as the Ring of Union, the 29th gift shares a common theme with the 4th, 7th, and 59th gene keys. This codon ring is currently undergoing a great deal of spontaneous mutation in our DNA and is directly responsible for a huge shift in the way in which we humans relate, particularly through our sexuality and gender. Much of the impetus for these genetic changes is coming through the 59th gene key and its programming partner, the 55th gene key. The very role of human sexuality is about to change, which means that at present the world is deeply confused about the value of its morality and its age-old institutions, such as marriage. Through the 29th gift, we can experience a new definition of the word commitment, which has less to do with social expectations and everything to do with saying yes to life. The only real commitment is commitment to your own inner guidance in the now, the 7th gift. Finding this guidance is dependent on your surrendering to the life force within you, which involves utter trust in life's natural cycles of commitment. It is this trust that is moving into the world today, and as it comes, it is smashing apart all our false moralities. True commitment is an energetic dynamic felt within your whole being rather than a social requirement. Many people view commitment through morality. You see this particularly in human relationships where commitment is generally enforced by social pressure. If, for example, a relationship breaks up or a marriage ends in divorce, it is still often thought of as a failure. True commitment is not moralistic. It lasts as long as it lasts. When the cycle is over, it is over, and both parties will feel this at the same time. Anyone who begins a relationship alliance out of true commitment knows this truth. Relationships that begin with this kind of clean commitment generally end in a clean way, without all the usual emotional turbulence that goes with breaking up. Some relationship commitment cycles really do last for one night, and others forever. The length of the cycle has nothing to do with success or failure. At the frequency level of the 29th gift, all relationships form a part of the evolving storyline of your life, and thus they are appreciated for adding richness and depth to life, rather than being seen in terms of failure or success. People with the 29th gift in their hologenetic profile can be exceedingly lucky people. Their clear, committed decisions create the conditions for their own good fortune. These people cannot afford to be led by others. They cannot listen to teachers, gurus, oracles, or systems. Neither can they succumb to pressure or expectation from others. Their decisions flow from deep within their bellies and brook no argument. With the 29th gift, a clear decision is felt as a quiet and powerful warmth that courses through your whole being. These are not emotional decisions, neither are they excited or nervous or explosive. Commitment is a wholesome energy, as though nature itself were taking control of your destiny and showing you the way ahead. It is at this stage that you begin to understand that to commit is also to surrender. Rather than expending a huge effort to maintain your commitment, you simply surrender yourself to it. Sometimes, if you feel a lack of commitment, it is because you need to surrender even more deeply into your process. Whether you have the 29th gene key as an aspect of your hologenetic profile or not, luck is made or unmade here, every time you make a clear decision in life. This can be especially true in business. Like a microcosm of life, a business is a journey with ups and downs. Prosperity is directly linked to clear commitment, both in your relationships and in your daily work. Within business, there are many cycles that begin, end, and begin again. Financial success cannot be measured by a single cycle, but by continued commitment and certainty in your decision-making. For example, sometimes when you stay committed to a direction that seems to be unsuccessful, it opens into opportunities that later become successful. You cannot think your way through life. You can only align your inner direction truly. Trust in it, come what may, and allow nature to do the rest. That's the pure magic of the 29th gift. The 29th Siddhi, Devotion, Tantric Contagion. When the gift of commitment takes on a universal level of functioning, it becomes transmuted into the Siddhi of Devotion. Out of this consciousness, all the great paths known in the East as Bhakti Yoga have arisen. Bhakti Yoga refers to the path of devotion, or the path of the heart. Devotional paths are all paths of self-surrender in which you completely lose your own sense of self in another. The other can be a mission, as in the case of Mother Teresa's devotion to the poor, or the other can be an ideal or symbol, such as a god or guru. The path of devotion is far removed from society. Devotion is commitment gone mad. It is mad in the sense that you have to leave the order of your mind to enter into the wildness of your heart. At the gift level, commitment can still have traces of selfishness, even though it is surrendered and contains great power. However, the more the frequency rises through this 29th gene key, the more you find your commitments directed towards the service of others. As the frequency gets higher and higher, your commitment takes on a devotional quality and begins to activate the heart center. At a certain stage in this process, you cannot help but become a devotee of some higher cause or being, and yet still the process goes on. As the energy of love pours outward into service, it requires you to surrender your very identity to what appears to be an outside being or symbol. To those who do not understand the true matters of the heart, such devotion appears misguided at best. People approaching this city can appear to worship gurus or idols without a care for themselves. To the devoted one, however, the only thing that exists is the object of their devotion. If the devotional energy is towards a guru, then the guru is seen everywhere and in everything. If it is towards a mission, then that mission is all that matters in your life, and everything else must bend in that single-pointed direction. When the quantum leap from the 29th gift into the 29th Siddhi occurs, an extraordinary thing happens. All the love that has been poured into the object of devotion suddenly begins pouring back into the devoted one from everything in their universe. At this point, the one manifesting the Siddhi often refers to everything, including themselves, as the beloved. Thus it is said by such people that the very rocks and the trees bleed their love towards the beloved. Wherever such people go, their heart is in constant meltdown from everything and everyone they meet. These people often become poets or divine drunks or servers of others. The programming partner to this city is the 30th city of rapture, and these two words, devotion and rapture, are inseparable. These people are literally seized by love. The aura of such a being is so soft that it can draw in almost anyone as a devotee. When meeting this frequency in the flesh, it is near impossible to say no to such a being. Another aspect concerning this city, and in fact one partially born out of this city, is the path of Tantra. Tantra loosely refers to the transmutation of sexual or dense frequency energy into divine energy. Even at the gift level of the 29th gene key, you begin to enter the stream of Tantra. As you allow the energy of commitment to act itself out in the world, you begin to realize that an energy separate from your body is moving through you. This high-frequency energy is actually moving into your body from your higher bodies, and in particular from the fifth body, known as the Buddhic body. The more refined your frequency becomes, the more you can sense this energy or vitality moving through you. At these higher levels, people often become interested in practices such as yoga that can help you become even more sensitized to these life currents within the body. When the life currents begin to move through the chambers of your chest and heart, the devotional energy is activated. This is the essence of Tantra, the spontaneous surrender of your being to its higher evolution. This 29th city remains deeply immersed in human relationships. In many tantric practices, the devotee visualizes him or herself having sex with a divine consort, or he or she experiences alchemical shifts within their body through sustained loving intercourse with another person. As a path opposite to that of yoga, which is based upon discipline, Tantra is about letting life take you wherever it wants to. Such paths draw a great deal of moral judgment from society because they are essentially amoral, and given the nature of the sexual energy inherent in this gene key, taboos are often broken. However, if such paths are followed through with absolute commitment, they do eventually raise the consciousness into its devotional aspect. As you may recall, the ancient Chinese referred to this archetype as the abysmal. There is no greater symbol for diving into the abyss than that of living your life entirely from your heart. The path of devotion is one of the simplest ways of touching the divine, and is why you find it in so many of the great religions. Here, it is based on the notion of sacred relationship, and its method is worship and prayer. There is a certain safety in worship, because there always remains a worshipper and an object of worship. However, between the realm of the gifts and the realm of the siddhis lies the great abyss. It is this abyss that brings an end to worship. The great challenge for the devotee is to allow him or herself to be annihilated and take the great leap into full embodiment. When the devotee crosses the abyss, he or she will never emerge on the other side. Only the divine will remain. This is the dilemma of the siddhic realm. Once such a person speaks, they will always sound as though they are God talking, rather than a humble worshipper of God. This is where most religions end. Once the 29th city comes into being, all life is witnessed as prayerful, so there is no sense in praying anymore. Since you are the embodiment of the divine, to whom will you now pray? The 29th city of devotion is an absolutely contagious city. Wherever it goes, it inspires devotion in others. This electrical, almost sexual aura creates considerable waves when it appears in the world. These are masters who care nothing for morality or taboos. They are only interested in one thing, surrender into the heart. When it first pours into you, this 29th siddhi often appears to be a chaotic energy without structure or rhythm. As your devotion deepens, you adjust your inner being to the organic nature of the heart, which knows no rules and takes its own strange twists and turns. What appears to be chaos to the outsider is really a deep state of wild harmonic transcendence in which the boundaries of normal reality have utterly melted. This is the siddhi of saying yes to life. It gives itself to absolutely anything or anyone that comes its way. The message of the 29th siddhi is exactly this: trust your heart above all else, and never worry about the consequences. To be devoted means to lie forever in the lap of the divine.
30th Jean Key. Celestial Fire. Programming Partner, 29th Jean Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Purification. 13:30. Physiology, Solar Plexus, Digestion. Amino Acid, Glutamine. The 30th Shadow, Desire. Nature's Greatest Con. Deep within the matrix of the DNA molecule lies a vital code that is greatly responsible for the building of our human civilization. This is the 30th shadow of human desire. Often, when we think of desire, we think first of sexual desire, which is in fact only one direction that desire can take. To understand this 30th shadow, we will have to strip desire down to its essence, and this means detaching the force of desire from its projection into the world. As a pure phenomenon, desire is simply genetic hunger. It does have a deep connection to our physical need to eat, but desire alone is not responsible for our individual survival. This aspect of our genetics does not influence individuality at all. If anything, desire is far more likely to get us killed than protect us. However, desire does serve a far wider purpose when viewed at a collective genetic level. The real purpose of desire is to get human beings to make mistakes so that we can evolve. Let us clarify this statement. Desire does not serve the individual, but it does teach us something valuable at a collective level. The real hunger coming from this 30th shadow is the hunger for experience itself. In order for human beings to master their environment, they have to taste all aspects of it, which means that they also have to explore the darker side of experience as well as the lighter. The fact that individuals or even large populations are killed in the process is of no consequence to the awareness operating through the whole human gene pool. Humans are expendable to the collective. Even whole races are expendable. But humanity itself is not expendable. We are programmed through the 30th gene key to learn and evolve through experience, so there is nothing we can avoid experiencing. If there is anything that is still untried by humanity, then somewhere, inside someone, the hunger of the 30th shadow will push them into trying it, no matter how outlandish or depraved it may be. For consciousness to enter into form, it must immerse itself deep within the form. In human beings, consciousness has at its disposal a very powerful and sensitive system of awareness, an awareness only overshadowed by the spirit of Gaia herself, of which humanity is essentially a sense organ. There is something very profound to understand here. The genetic instructions that guide humanity do not come from humanity as a separate entity, even though it appears that way to us. We are only a part of a wider organism with its own genetic imperative, and desire has formed an integral part of humanity's evolution as the driving force behind our sensory apparatus.
It is as though humanity operates like nature's brain, with desire providing the force that opens up all manner of neural networks within that brain. Some neural connections lead to short circuits, while others open us up to great leaps in awareness. All possible connections must be tried and tested in order to discover which are of the greatest service to the totality. The greater part of human experience is actually non-essential to our future, but it still has to be explored. As part of a chemical family known as the Ring of Purification, this 30th gene key naturally bonds with the 13th gene key, whose shadow frequency creates a powerful energetic field of discord and pessimism. Humanity is thus designed to move through a vast evolutionary cycle in which it is progressively purified. Such purification can only take place through the shadow frequency, since this provides the raw material for a higher state of consciousness. Most of the fallout from this incredible genetic process is found on the human emotional plane, sometimes also known as the astral plane. The astral plane is a subtle electromagnetic frequency field arising out of the sum total of all human desires and feelings. At the lower frequency bands of the astral plane, the overall tone is one of discord, the 13th shadow. Discord is a collective frequency that is sounded as a result of human beings inexorably expressing what they think to be their individual desires. At higher levels of the astral plane, human desire and emotion begin to turn inward and upward to seek its own source, moving through progressive levels of purity before it is experienced in its purest form, ecstatic rapture. When seen in this macrocosmic way, it almost seems as if nature has conned humanity, as though we have been set up as guinea pigs for evolution itself. This is exactly the case, that even though desire in itself is a pure impulse of nature, it tends to drive human beings mad. In Eastern Buddhist thought, desire is said to be the source of all human suffering. In fact, it is not desire itself, but your reaction to it that creates your suffering. In every human being, the force of desire is translated differently and projected out upon the world in a unique way. Thus, some people experience it through their sexuality, others through their yearning to be rich, famous, in love, or spiritually enlightened. The point is that the desire itself is pure. It isn't for anything. Human beings are simply creatures who are by design supposed to feel a yearning. What the 30th shadow of desire does is emotionally fuel your mind to try and find a way of escaping the yearning, or at the very least, venting it in some way. However, as every human being learns, the cycle of desire is eternal. The moment you have sated your hunger, you once again find yourself empty as the yearning begins a new cycle. The interpretation of the original Chinese name for the 30th hexagram of the I Ching literally means clinging fire. This is a wonderfully evocative name for this 30th gene key. It causes you to burn with longing or desire, but despite what you do to try to fulfill that desire, it persists in clinging to you. It continually drives you out into the world of experience, which of course is exactly what is intended. Nature's con is that we humans cannot escape the fire of our desire, no matter what we do. It must be accepted and embraced as a part of our mortality. Moreover, the more you think of desire as unspiritual, the more powerful you make it. Many of the great religious and spiritual traditions have been taken in by the great con, having us believe that desire can be somehow transcended or fought. Fighting an evolutionary force as powerful as desire is what causes human beings so much suffering in the first place. The great heretical irony about desire is that the desire to be one with God and the desire to kill your enemy is the same desire. Both lead to metaphorical hell. Alongside its programming partner, the 29th shadow of half-heartedness, the shadow of desire programs our world into a deep unconscious pessimism. Somewhere, deep within every human being, a very uncomfortable truth resides, that you can never transcend desire. Our denial of this truth is what causes us to live half-heartedly. We do not fully indulge our desire because it is too terrifying. Those who do so, externally, usually end in destroying themselves, while those who hold it back also destroy themselves on the inside. It seems, then, that desire has human beings outflanked and outgunned. Whatever we do, we are caught like rats in a maze. Even the most sophisticated esoteric traditions promise us transcendence from desire, but then warn us that our very desire to transcend in the first place will prevent such a state. What is one supposed to do with this information? What is the future of a race that is caught in such a paradox if desire itself prevents us from ever evolving beyond desire? As ever, the answers lie within the higher frequencies of this 30th gene key. Repressive nature, over-serious. When desire is repressed, life force is also repressed, and this leads to a stiffening of one's whole being, physically, emotionally, and psychologically. We begin to take life very seriously. As we have seen, desire equates to fire and passion. When it isn't allowed to burn within us, our inner fire fizzles out. Many people deal with their desires in this way, particularly in repressive societies and religions. Over-seriousness manifests through religion itself, which almost always imposes moral laws over the top of our natural desires. One might even go so far as to say that the majority of human civilization has repressed desire and become over-serious. It is the hallmark of our whole modern world. The great fear within the 30th shadow is the fear of being burned by our feelings, a collective fear that has been repressed on a collective level. True feelings unleashed on a collective level might lead to anarchy. That is the fear that is held in check by this aspect of the 30th shadow. Reactive nature. Flippant. Those people in the world who indulge their desires without care always run the very real risk of being ostracized by society. They cannot subscribe to any moral framework and abhor all forms of religion or impose control. They then become flippant about life as a reaction to that society. The result is that they often become embittered by the projections of the world and lash out by abandoning themselves even further into their desires. Just as the repressed nature wants to end desire through controlling it, the reactive nature wants to end desire through exhausting it. The result of this is that such people burn themselves out, and often early on in life. By totally externalizing all your desires, you are in fact becoming their victim. This kind of flippancy is akin to paganism, the extreme pole to organized religion. Just as one is a repression, the other is a reaction. The 30th gift, lightness. The final desire. There are two possible human responses to a paradox. Either you become tense or you surrender to it. The mind has great difficulty with paradoxes because it is not built to handle them. It can only resolve things through logical reason. The higher mind, which is really akin to an awareness operating outside your brain and body, adores paradoxes because it knows that they represent truth. When you surrender to the helplessness of being a normal human being, then something remarkable occurs. you experience a shift in frequency of your whole being. You begin to lighten up. The human mind is incredibly serious about life because it so wants to understand and control existence. The 30th gift, however, is a new operating wavelength for humanity, and it really involves an inner surrender that cannot be forced or faked. When we talk about lightness in respect to this 30th gift, we are not talking about escaping life by making light of life. On the contrary, we are talking about entering more deeply into life's suffering than ever before. We are talking about a kind of suicidal tendency that simply holds up its hands and says to creation, "Okay, I give in. Do your worst." What is actually committing suicide is your distrust in life, or what some traditions label the ego. You have to come to a deep realization of your own mortality and weakness in order to realize that true strength lies in simply trusting. Life is having its game through you, and you are simply a genetic pawn in that game. You have to become utterly helpless. It is not that you become helpless in a victim sense, but that you realize you are beyond needing help. And then the magic happens. You discover you can enter into that expanded state of consciousness that is guiding the overall game. This gives you access to a higher level of functioning, and you realize it was simply your distrust all along that was making your life seem so difficult. The gift of lightness does not change your destiny. It simply allows you to view it from a different level of awareness. However, the very shift to this higher awareness functioning always signifies a change in the script of your life. It is a breakthrough that occurs, or one might describe it better as a meltdown. All life follows a mythical script or storyline, and you can only see your life from this expanded awareness when you have escaped feeling that you are a victim of it. The moment you see the joke that life must be the way it is, you also see your place in the overall script, and you immediately feel at home. More than this, your whole being lightens even if your body continues to suffer. This lightening then finds its way into all your actions. Whatever you do from the gift of lightness, there is always a glint in your eye, because at some deep level, you know it is all really just a game, and the worst thing anyone can do is take it too seriously. There is a great difference between one who pretends to live life lightly and one who has real lightness of being. This difference is always found in the emotional nature. One who pretends is afraid of his or her true feelings, whereas one with real lightness is never afraid of being overwhelmed. The gift of lightness does not make you immune to desire, but neither does it cause you to react to desire. It allows you to become your desires in all their mystery. This is a gift that knows desires do not necessarily have to be followed, but they do have to be felt. Sometimes they do have to be followed in order that something is learned, but generally what this gift knows is that the fulfillment of desire is a sham. When human awareness penetrates down into the emotional system in this depth, then a huge sense of freedom emerges. This is the freedom of having a wide-angle view of desire. You know that whether or not you follow through with the desire, it will not lead to any lasting sense of peace. This means that desires no longer have such an addictive hold over you. In fact, desires become like guests you invite in for tea. They either leave in their own time, or they stay and insist on being followed. In this sense, true lightness can be seen as the letting go of the need to escape desire itself. The other vital hallmark of the gift of lightness is a sense of humor. Everything is viewed in a detached way, even though it may still be deeply and sensually felt, so everything is seen lightly. The humor that comes from this gift is not a clever or sarcastic kind of humour, and neither is it ever directed personally at another. It always manifests as the ability to laugh at yourself above all else. Your own life becomes a great tragic comedy, since it incorporates both sides of the experiential spectrum. You learn to see through all human behaviour. You see both the depth of suffering that lies in the false belief that your desires can ever be fulfilled, and the great pleasure that comes from the build-up and release of your desires. The humour that comes through this 30th gift is a very compassionate humour. It is not about laughing at anything. It is simply the true response of a human being who has surrendered to the higher self. As you move into the higher frequencies of the 30th gene key, you finally begin to understand the mystery of the cycle of desire. Beneath the thousands of desires that pass through your emotional system each day, you begin to determine a single underlying desire that gradually becomes stronger and stronger. This is the desire to end your own suffering. The desire to end your own suffering is the same desire that leads all human beings on the path of spirituality and inner inquiry. This desire to escape, or to ascend, or to be free, is the final great desire within human beings. It is the urge of evolution itself, longing to transcend the form. As you step fully into the pure field of this longing, you enter the purifying fires of consciousness. This codon group, the ring of purification, takes you on a journey in which your whole being begins to relinquish the hold of desire. You will have to trust implicitly in your desire to transcend, even as you understand that the very desire itself prevents you from transcending. This final desire must be followed, tracked, embraced, and allowed, and as it is, the fire of your longing becomes intensely bright. This is the other meaning of lightness in the context of the 30th gift. Your body actually begins to fill with light as your lower vehicles and subtle bodies are purified by the strength of your longing. The 30th Siddhi, Rapture, from Bhakti to Shakti. The 30th Siddhi is an unusual Siddhi in that it manifests as one of the great divine ecstatic states. Along with its programming partner, the 29th Siddhi, these are aspects of our genetics that really terrify the majority of human beings. In our Western culture, in particular, these kinds of ecstatic states are deeply distrusted, as we no longer have any clear cultural vent for them. In times gone by, it was the ancient shaman who could enter these states of consciousness. Nowadays, the closest we come is through the burgeoning drug and dance culture. We have grown so far away from being a devotional culture that we can no longer understand it at all. Certain religions, such as Islam, are rooted in these devotional codes, and they therefore recognize them more readily, although they can also misinterpret them just as easily. The contemporary cult of the suicide bomber is clearly rooted in the lower frequencies of the 30th shadow. The 30th and 29th Siddhis represent an archetypal stream within your DNA that causes powerful mutations in your endocrine system. These result in the ongoing production of certain rarefied hormones within the brain chemistry of the pineal gland that induce states of great devotion and divine rapture. The 30th Siddhi of rapture only occurs when you step willingly into the fires of annihilation. We may recall that the ancient name for this 30th hexagram of the I Ching is the clinging fire. At the Siddhic level, you dissolve entirely into the fire. Everything about this 30th Siddhi looks insane to ordinary waking consciousness. It involves mystical suicide, a complete immersion in the fires of divine longing. You finally give up everything, even the desire to transcend. All desires merge into the one primal desire, the desire with no target, the essence of all creation and the pure longing at the heart of the life force itself. There is a mystery here that is carved into our English language and captured in the word belonging. We can only truly belong in the world when we can utterly be our longing. The state of divine rapture is really akin to being burned by the fires of bliss over and over again. These are people who are so flammable that the smallest thing will set them off, and whoever comes near them will very likely catch their devotional energy. The nature of the mutated solar plexus system, which is where this 30th siddhi lies, is to carry awareness outside of the physical body, through the aura. Thus, the 30th siddhi is what creates the devotees of its programming partner, the 29th siddhi of devotion. These two siddhis radiate their power and shakti through the morphogenetic field of the enraptured one. This is why certain teachers and masters can literally transform the hearts of their devotees forever. The aura of such a being is as palpable as it is dangerous. It is dangerous to the human mind that cannot comprehend such a phenomenon and will not let go of trying to be in control. The very lifeblood of this 30th siddhi is about dissolution into the primal chaos of the divine frequencies. These siddhis are not such a common phenomenon in the world. Wherever they erupt, they are often misunderstood. If this were to happen to someone in the West, they would most likely be heavily sedated and locked away. In India, the divine ecstatics and madmen were traditionally given the same treatment and were both revered, since there is a fine line between the two states. Early manifestations of this siddhi and the 29th siddhi can also cause all kinds of difficulties in the human body, since we have not yet evolved to fully carry these extremely high emotional frequencies. In this respect, the 30th siddhi has a particular role to play within the coming evolution of the human solar plexus system as described in the 55th gene key. The role of the 30th siddhi is literally to burn out all human desire from our DNA. This means that humans who attain this siddhi are really performing an important genetic task on behalf of the collective. They are allowing their vehicle to deliberately short-circuit and burn out the collective desire of our past. The perk that goes with this role is that they experience the divine rapture. In the 22nd gene key, there is a detailed description of the seven subtle bodies of the human aura. The process of transcendence through this 30th gene key directly mirrors the purification of the second astral body and its assimilation into the higher buddhic body, the fifth body. It is the human longing of the 30th gene key that creates enough bhakti to catalyze the higher currents of grace from within the higher self. The bhakti is the subtle fluidic emanation that rises up from this purification of human longing. It is an emanation that reaches up into the buddhic body and activates its counterpart, known as shakti. Shakti is the divine essence that descends or rains down upon the initiate and causes the state of rapture. It is this interchange of bhakti and shakti that characterizes the 30th siddhi. The divine longing expressed as bhakti is an evolutionary force, whereas the divine grace expressed as shakti is the involutionary force. In the future genetic vehicle of humanity, this 30th siddhi will cease to exist, having deliberately burned itself out. In this sense, it will become redundant. The experience of divine rapture is a genetic anomaly within the evolutionary program for humanity. It has one purpose alone, to kill desire in order that a new awareness can dawn. Interestingly, the 29th Siddhi of devotion will not share the same fate as the 30th Siddhi, but will go on to form the basis of human relationships and therefore whole communities. In the meantime, all those who have a deep affinity with this 30th gene key will experience certain degrees of this burning within their lives. We can easily see it working its way out of humanity at its lower frequencies through all those in whom devotion and rapture are translated